So I'm here with Shelley Ware of the Marnbrook Footy Show. How are you tonight, Shelley?
I'm good, yourself?
Yeah,
thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks very much for joining us. I wish that we could talk to you under better circumstances, but unfortunately the issue of racism has reared its head again in the AFL. I'm just wondering, when you hear about this sort of thing and what happened with Eddie Betts and Paddy Ryder in particular in the game last week, what are your first thoughts when you hear about this sort of thing happening?
Well, instantly your body just deflates and you just think, not again. Like, it really takes it out of everything in that moment, your breath, everything goes away and you're devastated. It just takes a little bit to catch your breath back, and then you have a bit of a look about it being actually happening again, and then you pick yourself up and off you go again to fight the fight for education being the key.
Yeah
instantly it's deflation.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you talked much about it in the last few days? Like, what's the sort of the feedback that you've got about the incident?
My cousin is Paulie Van Boo from the Port Adelaide Football Club, who deals with a lot of the fallout of this. So we had some good conversations over time about it. And I know that he's going to do the right thing by the people if they're open to cultural awareness. So really, as soon as I get over that hurt period, it's straight into what can we do. You know, I've even sat down with people, Tony Peake from the AFL, and said, I've got some great ideas for education in schools, and they're listening more and more, and now we've got Tanya Hosh, so talking to her, I've been talking to NITV, I'll be on the point at 9 o'clock straight after Marnbrook, just talking about that solely on there, and everybody just wants to get around, and so there's been a lot of talk about it.
Yep, I guess that's sort of the key to it all, is education about, like you say, the cultural awareness program that the clubs have. Do you think that's just basically what everyone needs to so that this sort of thing doesn't keep happening?
Oh, absolutely. When I went to school, we didn't even talk about Aboriginal people at school. You know, I watched one video at high school, and it was, you know, I went to a Catholic school, and the nuns were so pleased with themselves. They stood there the whole time smiling at me that, you know, they'd done it for me. But the video, just the content of it, was overwhelming and scarring, life scarring. But so we haven't had the education, people of my age in their 40s. So they don't even understand their own country's history.
Yeah.
To understand why, to have the empathy and the compassion about why Aboriginal people would be hurt by these comments. And so it's a whole generation that missed out on education at school that need to be educated about it, because now their children are being educated at school, and their children have a really deep sense of awareness and compassion and empathy. Mm. And, you know, they're challenging their parents and their thoughts. And, you know, it's like we've missed a generation that we've got to sort of help and fix up.
And I guess, sort of, from my point of view anyway, the thing that I think a lot of people don't understand is that how it hurts, like you said yourself, that it hurts you. You weren't the person there at the time, but the people don't understand that if they abuse an Indigenous person or an Asian person or a Muslim person,
absolutely,
for that matter, that it's actually hurtful for the rest of the community.
The whole community feels it, you know, because you feel a connection to people of your own culture just naturally. So when somebody is affected that way, and so publicly, and you know that their children just have to type in their name on the internet, in a couple of years they'll be able to do that, and that's what's going to come up about their dad.
Mm.
You know, like, it's all that flow-on effect of that. But it's just, like, when all this stuff happened with Adam Goods, like, I felt like I was in a state of depression over it for a good week. I couldn't go on social media because of the disgusting things that were on social media. It took a long time to pick myself up from that, to get the fight back. You know, it was a full week of just, what's going on? Why? Like, I was just so affected by that. And then now with Eddie, Eddie's my cousin, and my son just absolutely idolises Eddie. And he goes to bed crying at night because he's so upset that Eddie has been hurt in this manner. And it affects Taj also in his ability to feel safe in some situations of, are people going to say those things to me? So, you know, it takes away a bit of shine of life sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw on Twitter just earlier you took a photo of your boy Taj just ahead of footy training, and he had the mouth guard with the Aboriginal flag colours on, and looked fantastic. How do you talk to him about it? How do you approach that with him?
Well, the very first time that happened with Adam Goods, and Adam did a press conference, I just knew how Adam was going to react just by the type of man he was. And I sat Tash down and I said, I want you to watch this because this is really important. And I knew it was going to be a press conference that would change the way that people viewed the racism that was happening, and that it was going to change the future. So I sat him down, and true to form, Adam said exactly what I knew he was going to say. And Tash looked at me and he said, people say that to me at school, and I looked away, and it took me a good few minutes just to regroup from that before I could even look at him without being hysterically crying. And so that sort of, it opened up conversations.
Mm.
So he opened up a conversation that I wasn't having with my son, because I wasn't aware, because he wasn't coming home and telling me. Even as open as our floodgates are, he was sort of keeping that to himself. So that opened up that conversation with Taj. So now I say to him, if people talk to me like that, I need to know, you know, so I can support you through it and I can go to the school. I ended up speaking to the family that were doing it, and they were just mortified, and I knew they would be.
Mm.
As they just, their child actually wasn't saying it for the reason that we know that adults say it for.
Mm.
They would say it different things, but then we were able to educate them and it stopped. Yep. So, you know, it's all just open communication about it. And when I told him about what had happened with Eddie and Patty this time, he just actually said out loud straight away, not again. Like, he was like really frustrated with it, and you know, he wanted to send a different message in that photo, but I wouldn't let him. So we kept it nice. it was important to him because the same mouth guard as Eddie is like God in this house, and you know, he just idolises everything about him. So he wanted to show his support to Eddie and know that we stand there with him, and he knows Eddie stands there with him, and they've got a good relationship, and so it's just about supporting each other.
Yeah, excellent. And do you think that the AFL is doing enough in this regard? Is there anything else that they could be doing, do you think?
Well, I'm just recently sat down with Tanya Hosh with the AFL, and she's in charge of policies. So she'll be making a few changes to policy, and she has a lot of big long-term goals. And I just mentioned earlier, I sat with Tony Peake and said, you know, because I'm also a teacher, so I have some really good ideas on programs the AFL could do. So they started listening to that, and then they said, let's talk to Tanya, and I had a meeting with Tanya, and we're going to look into possibilities, programs that we can sit down and get into schools. And, you know, the AFL is such a positive and strong machine, and so, you know, it's time to start really getting into those schools. Even though the curriculum has changed a lot since I went to school, there's still room for improvement. And, you know, no better way to learn, especially with these kids loving footy as much as they do, through their heroes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I was really pleased with the AFL Players Association, the open letter from the Indigenous Advisory Board.
Absolutely.
From Sean Burgoyne. And, and
that was fantastic, and for them to all have signed their name there. That was all these little steps forward, you know, meeting the advertiser, the photograph today.
Yep.
Together we fight as one. And there's a picture, I don't know if you've seen it, with Eddie and Patty at the front, and then all the boys behind, and the, you know, the men in their suits. You know, we can do this. Like, we're one, you know. Together we're better.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. Yeah, I think that'll be an iconic photo, the two teams all together.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
I loved it instantly. Right up there as one of my favourites. I've got a memory like a fish, but I'll never forget that one.
Well, it's been great to talk to you about the whole incident, but I also wanted to talk about your other endeavours, the Margrook Footy Show, of course, Thursday nights on NITV. It's 10-year anniversary this year. Did you think when you first started it way back when that it was going to be what it is now?
Yeah, I did. I was